Hello, dear fairies, wizards, people, normal human folk. Welcome to another podcast. Yes, this is another attempt of me trying to open the podcast whilst I'm still recovering from a nice off stream. Yeah, let's call it a stream serenade that Niklas gave me to inspire confidence in my opening endeavors. So thank you so much for that, Niklas. I don't know how your guys' weeks have been. I have recently discovered the power of now again, so I'm very in the now, I'm very present, so I'm doing fairly well. There is only now, love, all that stuff. How about you, Sir Niklas?
Well, as per usual, I am not on the same stage of enlightenment as you are. I'm, but it is, oh no, that, I think that sounded way too ironic. I'm good. You know, there's lots of mundane things that bother me at the moment, but you know, nothing too terrible. It's a nice evening here, over here in Germany. I am looking out of the window right at another house that's across the street because I live in a city. So you know, it's just a usual Friday night.
Nice. Well, you using your senses by observing a house across the street is already a very good way of reaching that before mentioned enlightenment. So good job. By the way, if people wonder, like, wow, man, that Cooney always sounds so Cooney. Feel free to ask me how I get to Cooney, and I'll help you get a Cooney. Well, this is getting weird, but besides being a pagan full podcast, I think it's very important that we all sort of stick together in life, which is sometimes hard. So we're also here for you if you have like maybe a spiritual question or whatnot. Sorry for dropping this bomb, Niklas. I'll take the messages, but I'm sincere in my offer. Because I know how tough life can be. I do think I'm getting slightly off topic here, especially if people listen to this right after episode 10, anniversary episode, where we talked about recording, translating the pagan folk vibes and energy and resonance onto a CD. Through the use of various technical devices, great producers, finding your way there as a newborn musician maybe, or maybe a veteran switching a genre. So as we have talked about that, there's all these. These like vibrations, basically, that have been recorded, and then it does not end there. No, sir. There's much more to it. There's like you have the way of presenting what you did. There is the there's definitely more variety in there. LPs are making a comeback. Digital releases. Who needs a hard copy? Wow, is it wasteful? Whatever. All that sort of stuff. Artwork. Wow, are you going for artwork? So yeah, I think we'll be delving a bit deeper into that from a standpoint of us that have already done it and maybe trying to help people out that are going to do it.
Yeah, that was very all-encompassing, I think. So maybe, I think it's probably at this point well established that we both have like more than one release out. And do you think, were you in the position to release an album in that sort of physical medium that you wanted to? Like, did you pay a lot of attention to like packaging and booklet, and could you sort of like realize all your ideas that you had in that regard for like the maybe like the newest album that you have out?
Well, if we go to the newest, I think that we've put in quite some stuff in there. Where one of the very important things is that we put in a lot of original artwork that were either done by Robin, me, or even by Sar. So that was very important to us. But of course, that like there's so much more cool stuff to be done. I mean, yeah, we want it to be a full fantasy novel, and we want a poster in the middle, and we want shiny stuff, and but damn, that adds up. But then again, if you look at the growth, the first thing we just released in the carton sleeves. Did we do everything? No. Are we very content? Yes. But the album we did review from Found Eden. Yes, that's definitely something I would want to move closer to, so to speak. How do you feel about that? Wasn't your last release Mythos?
Yeah, that's true. And yes! I mean, it's not too hard. There's only like two albums out, so you know.
But I could still have screwed up. So, was your last album Legend? Oh no.
I think actually we I was actually asking because I thought about how it was with us, and we put a lot of thought into the physical release of our last album, and I think that's something interesting actually. Because, you know, if you look at the music scene in a larger scope, physical CDs, or, you know, I think mostly CDs, are less and less, you know, a way for a band to generate like income, or even that they sell a lot. If you're not like a huge band, then it a lot of the time it's very hard to, you know, to sell a lot of CDs. But I think we are luckily in a position that we are playing music in a scene, or like in a musical subgenre, where the physical medium is still something that's very important, because people still buy a lot of CDs, because on these medieval fairs and on those festivals, you often have like a chance to buy from the musicians, like from the bands directly. And I think that's something that a lot of people really like. We have a lot of people coming to our merch stall after shows, and then being happy to have a little talk and then also buy a CD. So in that regard, you know, we are in a position where it actually makes sense to, you know, to release CDs and to put some thought into, you know, packaging and, you know, booklet and stuff like that. And and first of all, that's something that I'm very grateful for. And so that's what we did for our second album. I think the concept of our second album was to sort of like portray like different myths, or, you know, figures of myth, you know, beings, fairies, you know, whatever. And so we had sort of the idea to make it sort of like a storybook. So it's like a huge booklet. I don't know, like over 30 pages, I think. And we have like many different like illustrations, and every song has like two pages with like liner notes in German and in English. And it was very extensive. And I think Nina, who did a lot of the planning for that and worked very closely together with our graphics designer, by the end, they were both quite exhausted, because there were so many details that needed to be right. And we're currently planning on releasing, a third album. And we already, one of the things we agreed on very early was that, you know, this time let's try to slim it down a bit, because it was nice the other time that we did sort of like the extensive thing, but this time let's try to make it a bit more simple.
Yeah, I do think you guys did go all overboard there, which is great. Like I said, we're in a very physical scene If that doesn't sound weird, it's not. I'm not pointing at groupies or whatnot, but it's just the fans really wanting to support through buying physical shirts, CDs, but also meeting up after the shows and then having that great musician to fan contact, which has always been huge on the festivals, which is, I think, for a lot of people, even the reason they fall closer in love with what's going on there, because you can really get, there's no crowd barrier or anything in between the artist and the people enjoying their music. And I think it really shows in that whole supporting culture with physical CDs. And it feels a lot more grateful as well. 'Cause in these past couple of months, where you only have like digital numbers, basically, having to push stuff through Facebook or other social media, is just, for me personally, was very ungratifying compared to the real deal. Which of course sounds like, yeah, of course, duh, this whole situation is less gratifying for everyone. But I hope you can follow, catch my drift. Coming back to your CD and the whole artwork booklet, I can remember that I was like, whoa, holy shit, they did an Eid in here, basically, which is really cool. It, for me, one of those great moments, and I'm sure there's lots of people that do this when they don't have to drive, of course. After a festival, you get like your bounty, your hoard of treasure of newly bought CDs, and it's so gratifying to look through the booklet, what the artist put in there, other great collaborations, look up who did what on the CD. Oh wow, they have this guest musician. Oh damn, yeah, we're still looking for someone. Let's look at the producer. And then it's so cool to have all that stuff in a booklet. And I'm always sort of disappointed if an artist hasn't done that, when it just says, okay, he played that on that track, that on that track, and okay, yeah, copyright. For me, it's like the experience as a whole, and it's more like the artwork and the CD cover. Whilst I don't even own something to play a CD with at the moment, I still buy the CDs as little pieces of art, like a sculpture, basically. So I think you did a really good job with that, that it is a very gratifying product to behold.
Yeah, and I think that was actually like even something we considered while deciding it, to do it that way, that we wanted, you know, if people are, you know, kind enough to buy a CD, we want to like give them something nice so that it's actually worth, you know, worth buying the CD. And we were luckily in the position where we could afford that at the time, because I totally understand when bands or like solo artists put out like a little bit of like a slimmer thing, because printing CDs and like doing booklets and stuff like this is quite expensive, especially when you're like a DIY musicians and you don't have a label paying for that kind of stuff or something. But I also I really had to smile when you were talking about, like, you know, reading up on the, you know, on the production credits and everything, because that was something I remember, like, back to when we were doing the booklet, we were also very, because that's something that we also really like to read, so we were super keen on putting like every little thing that we could think of, every little tidbit of information, like put it in there, so that people who are, because that's what we like to read, so we were thinking, yeah, sure, that's what other people would be interested as well. And so apparently that was right. Yeah,
another thing that we sort of picked up, I think, from the CDs from Omnia is they also always have like little Easter eggs in their final credits, like in the, like, we would like to thank, long walls of text where you'd be like, okay, nobody's reading this. And then just put in little Easter eggs that if people actually finish reading from A to Z, that they actually have a little treasure that other people that didn't bother to do so don't have. And I don't know, it always made me feel great. So we also sort of started doing that just to get to project that experience and make it a little more magical as well for like the younger people out there. I think it's very cool when they actually maybe firmer believe in fairy stuff than more maybe cynical, grounded, maturer people. That they have this, oh wow, did they really play in the song? And so it's actually cool to add in a bit more personalized and sort of sketch the world that is around the band, which is I think very important in the pagan folk music.
Oh totally, yeah, yeah, and those are perfect opportunities to like shape your shape the world you want to portray. And it's true, actually I hadn't really thought of it that way, but yeah, let's get down to business for a moment. Did you have a hard time like finding a printing like place or like what was it called? I think it's called a pressing plant, you know, the places that print CDs. Was that hard for you to find? Were you advised by like some other musicians or by your producer where you should do that?
Well, the first time it was completely, or the first two times was super do it yourself. So we had no one really to advise us. And it's super scary because you're paying a lot of money, especially if you have like lower volumes. The more you print, the cheaper to get per piece. And it's, of course, the bigger bands know, oh yeah, we'll be selling this much anyway. So I think the first time we were completely screwed over as well, including delivery time, extra fees coming there. And we didn't really have the money for that as well. So that was very sour. For people that like I stated earlier, If you're at this point that you're like, fuck, man, I really want to release this, but I don't know why, because you Google and then you say, oh, CD print. And there are so many, many like competitors. We're all sort of, as musicians, sharing this world together. So there's lots of musicians that know where you're coming from if you're struggling, don't know where to go. I've been burned before. If you don't want to be burnt, reach out to some people. It's a tip, and I would have loved to have the same network that I have right now to not make those mistakes again, because it's scary. We definitely had some people that so you're giving something that your heart is in and you've been working on for months or maybe years to someone you don't know entirely, just because they have the let's say the factory to print, and they if you're in bad luck, they couldn't care less as long as they get money, and they're not there to hold your hand to make sure that you have that great enchanting final product. So I don't know. I think you can hear that right now that it sucks, and I have some bad memories. But now we have a fixed address of a very personal contact, which is very important. Sort of always a good way to sort of feel out. Like if people are like really trying to make a connection already through email or whatever, that's a good sign. So we had some bad experience, but now we have a good one. The last CD, and I hope you weren't burned. But I dare almost dare not ask. Were you in luck?
No, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think for the first one it was just okay, if I remember correctly. But we were very lucky with our second. With the second time we released an album, because at that point we had made a business contact with someone who only really does our digital distribution. So the like he's the person who's responsible for our albums being, you know, available on Spotify and on other like streaming services and also to buy on digital platforms. But he also advised us for like printing. And I remember he sent me like a package with like different CDs that were all printed at the same printing press and that were just different types of CDs they could press. So that was pretty cool because we could, you know, take the CDs and look at like the quality of the paper and of the binding and everything. So we ended up working with them, and that went just, yeah, it went super well. And I can totally understand, like, one of the first things you said was about, you know, being super nervous about handing off that thing, especially because, you know, you're pressing like a huge number of CDs, and like if they screw it up, you're left with like this huge batch of just faulty CDs. And especially because we had like such a big booklet, we were super concerned that something would go wrong, but everything turned out amazing, you know. So yeah, we were lucky that we had someone who had some good advice for us. But it's still I think again, it's probably something that where you can be fine with doing it, you know, yourself and just doing the research on your own. But you know, at some point I think about that a lot, because there are bands out there that are like, you know, their main job is like the band, and they are totally DIY, so they take care of everything, you know, like they do promotion, they do their own booking, they do their own merch completely by themselves. And I mean, I am, you know, we are already sometimes overwhelmed with all the, you know, details, you know, with taxes and everything. And we are only like doing this as, I mean, we're aspiring towards, you know, making this like bigger and making this, you know, more professional, but yeah, it's one of those parts of playing in a band that's very, where it's hard to decide when to stop and when to hand things over to like people you work with, or like trying to find people to help you in that regard, because it all takes away, you know, takes time away from, you know, time that you would more probably would be more happy to, you know, write music or rehearse or, you know, find inspiration somewhere.
Yep. And what I always say, well, I don't always say it, that would be weird, but it's not odd that managing, accounting, booking, distribution has turned into a job that people do as their thing. So those are all things that have become fairly complicated. So a lot of respect to everybody that does it themselves. Not really. Okay, I'm sort of self. Yes, I self-respect myself as well, because we do it, but we're fairly small. But there's also the bigger fish that do it. So it's kudos. So you can do it yourself, and it's awesome. And if the whole pressure comes to you, it is fine, because then you can let yourself wither and plant yourself and grow like an ancient oak that grows and stands, in the end, stands tall above the rocks, is what my grandma always used to say. So there's that, you know.
That's nice. I like that. I think we are happy, you know, this year is a bit weird because, you know, nothing's happening, but the last year was the first year where we exclusively let our booking agency, you know, take care of the booking, something that we in the past had done ourselves a lot. But I think all of us are pretty happy that we don't need to take care of like all of that stuff anymore. So, you know, we are very thankful that there are people there who do this kind of stuff. So, okay. So now the CD is printed. You know, everything has worked out. There is no like wrong tracks on the album, or it's printed upside down or anything. So now what do you do next? Do you do like a music video? Do you release, I don't know, like a single that people can buy first? Do you do a release concert? That's just a couple of things I want to talk about next. Did you do like a music video before your, you know, before the album came out? Did you do like a single release of any kind?
Well, the first thing we did when we got our first CD was create decorations out of 150 empty CDs. That's not generally what we do with our first CDs. No, we're very bad at that sort of stuff. No, I think we released our first like official, and it was also a COVID release video this year for a new single. I think our release offensive on the world wide webs has always been just like make a nice Facebook post. And I think we discovered Instagram 1 year ago. And I don't know, I think we're a very bad example of how you get stuff done at a release. But then again, there's always like the first gig that we've always dubbed to be a release, even though it was just a festival and everybody felt it with you and it was proud and happy with you. So I think it's only just starting that we're trying to think about it a little bit more, in a big part to Mr. Joe Hannon that has joined us, because we're really sappy, like, oh, we just make music. Oh, yeah, shit, we have to. We probably should get this on a CD to share it as well. So I think we are fairly good, interesting to pair of individuals to talk about this. Where I expect you guys to have thought and executed the release a lot better, because my story is basically a train wreck.
I mean, I think we try, you know, we always want to do things in a professional way, because I don't know, because in the end it's in our interest that, as you know, the people who would be interested in listening to your music get the chance to do that, you know, that they will be notified or in any way, you know, in some way that there is something new, so they can have a chance to listen. And you know, in the current era or whatever, with so much music being released, it's sort of like sometimes it feels like a competition to reach an audience, which of course I don't know, I don't want to judge that, you know, because I think any like the modicum of success that, I mean, and I'm doing like air quotes when I say success, but it is like it is some sort of success. So the modicum of success that we had or have is due to, you know, the whole internet and like that being in some way at least a more democratic process in some way, I guess. So we are in the past we've been very attentive with doing like, you know, how we approach a release, especially for the second album. You know, we've been, I think we've teasered it with like, we posted the album artwork, we're like only a bit of the album artwork, and then we posted the whole album artwork, and then like then, you know, with the name of the album, and for and I think for the second album we sort of did like a very early first single release, our only, I guess not only, but like the most professional music video that we did for sort of for like the song Mati Sida Zemlya, which we where we worked with the same people who, you know, who owned the studio where we were recording. So that's the and we did that like I think in early spring, and the album was released in like summer, so there was quite a lot of time between that, but it still it gave us a chance to, you know, to build up sort of expectations, and then always being able to like tease little things. And then at some point we had like this very classic thing where you know, we had like a 10-minute YouTube video where we just played a little bit of each song. You know, I think it's called an album player or something like that, when you do something like that. So we've everything that we do are, I mean, I'm saying we, but like most of the promotional stuff is being done by Nina, is like what she will do, and look at what bigger bands do, sort of like as promotional tactic, or you know, however you want to phrase it, and then sort of like try to do something similar to that that we can do with, you know, our fairly limited budget and like technical options. So I think we've been lucky in that regard, that we've had some, you know, material that we could use for that. And then also for the second album, we did like a big, I mean, not a big, but we did like a release show at a local venue here in Hildesheim, where we, I mean, not we, but where some of us at least live. And there is a local venue that's, they are subsidized by the, you know, by the country, so they can be a bit more adventurous with what type of bands they book. And we've played there before, and they were happy with like the turnout, you know, from an audience perspective. So we were, they let us play a release concert, and we had a great time. It's I can go into more detail if that's something. Do you think that's interesting?
Interesting. Sorry, I was just trying to be a troll here. Yes. I don't know how interesting the story is going to be, of course. Let's be honest here.
No, I mean it's not really a story. It's just like sort of like we had this venue. We asked a band with of some friends if they wanted to sort of open, and then we had some guest musicians. You know, we had the guy who played some of the guitar on the album, we had him come on and play guitar. And then there was a song where we had, you know, where Nina played two flute parts, and then we had a friend who, you know, then came on stage and played like the second flute part, because, you know, you can only really play one flute at the time, I guess. So, you know, that's just some of the ways that we tried to, you know, to make it more interesting. And I remember it felt very festive. We had like, I think the Nina and at that point Gina was still in the band, they were both wearing like white, and I had like a shirt and a vest on and stuff like that. So we were all feeling very festive, and it was nice because there were people who were coming from quite far away to, you know, I think even like Kees, you know, famous photographer, yep. I think he even came by, and so it was just a very nice feeling, and it was just sort of like it was a physical release of the album, but it was also an emotional release, because, you know, it just felt like the payoff for the work that we had put in.
Yeah, I do think like release concerts have this, like what you're sort of describing, this special emotional and a memorable tinge to it, because the fans realize that it's like going to be a once in a lifetime, basically. I mean, the CD is only going to be released once, and all of the stuff that's been put in there, the band's trying to step it up another notch. So I remember some release parties. I think I've been to Kies release party, and it was a very warm concert. There's just an extra layer to it that can be felt. Maybe it's just the musicians being super relieved, or I don't know. It's just it feels very, very unique, and I think that's actually great. I'm actually looking forward to doing my own at some point. You convinced me that this is a fun thing to look into.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you have to always, you know, think about the scope, you know, because that's, I don't know, it's complicated.
Uh-oh, the organizational stress is coming back in. Okay, so another very interesting thing, like you were saying, there's lots of ways to go about this. A very cool thing that a band, the Trolls Kapolska, did. I think it was like the 2 weeks before their release, they put up one song on, I think it was SoundCloud or some medium like that. And they put up one extra song every day until the entire album was up there. And then they planned it accordingly that when the last song was on there a day, the next day it would all be gone. But their album was released. So you're actually sort of really already relying on, yeah, I'm going to listen to this. I really like the song. And then it was all gone. It's like your drug was taken from you. Like, okay, it's actually, I thought it was brilliant. And I buy their physical CDs. At the time, I was like, damn, man, should I go get this digital release now because I need it? So I thought it was very clever and very fun and engaging way to do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's many interesting, like, sort of like guerrilla marketing and like unconventional ways in which bands can sort of release or like pre-release their music. And I think, you know, that's probably something also to consider, like, for the future, you know, with, I don't know, you never know how, like, the music business develops. I think in that regard, we are a bit, I don't know.
Lost in time?
No, because we, I mean, I think, yeah, maybe, no, because I think we would be most happy with if things were like they were in the 90s. Because that's all very predictable. You know, you release a single, then you release a second single, and then you release the album and, you know, yada, yada, because that's a very, but there's you were describing with Trotska Polska, and there's, you know, a lot of ways that bands have been creative with, like, you know, putting their album out there. And I mean, there have been, are you just generally a fan of albums? Because I think there was an infamous article a couple years back, like the death of the album, where like the author argued that, you know, the concept of an album is very is not very timely. You know, it doesn't make sense because nobody listens to an album anymore. So it doesn't make sense to, you know, to wait to accumulate enough material to then release an album, but rather, you know, just have a continuous release of singles or smaller EPs and stuff like that. How do you feel about that?
Well, as you were saying that, I do not know the article. I felt sad. Maybe I think it goes for some of like the big poppy things where they don't really have a concept that they're building around. But for me, an album has always been like sort of a story envisioned by the artist that they want to tell in a certain order or as a collection. And sure, when you know the album, when you've listened to it in that context, you press shuffle on Spotify and you get all the good stuff. But it's definitely, for me, a very fun way to be working on the music. And I always, like just the new release, Ether from Moon and Night Spirit, I definitely make sure for the first time that I listen to it to turn off my shuffle and listen to the whole album and to see the extra layer that they have been able to put in that. As I see them as a story. So I don't know. That must, maybe, I don't know who wrote it, but it must have been a guy that doesn't really look for imagination and stories in his music. I mean, yeah, no, for me, it definitely has added value to release a story, basically a bundle, a book. It's like a book without chapter. No, just release all the chapters, man. Just one by one. One every month. Screw it. Don't bother to put them in a book. It's all fine. Nobody cares anymore. They're just shuffling anyway. What? That's strange.
Yeah.
To me.
No. Yeah. And I think you're I think there is still plenty. I mean, you know, only that was just a very polarizing article, and it was polarizing because a lot of people didn't agree. And especially for like niche subgenres, you know, like folk or metal or whatever, you know, there's a million genres out there. I think there is a dedicated fan base who are, you know, into listening for, you know, listening to whole albums. So I think I would agree in, you know, in that regard. I was just, it's just interesting because, I don't know, because I think there in certain genres, there is probably something to be said for, you know, just, I think, and it's fun, you know, there when, like in certain genres that I also listen to sometimes, there is bands who just release, like they release 3 EPs, you know, per year. They don't, they also release albums sometimes, but most of their material is out in like EPs, you know, and it's just a more frequent update, and they experiment with their sound a lot and stuff like that. So I think there's definitely like fun ways where you can like mess with the formula of your music and whatever. So I think it's definitely interesting, but I'm also a big fan of the album, and I'm still very excited, you know, as you said, to like, you know, listen to an album front to back, like in the sequencing the artist intended, you know, in the end, after I've done that, I'm, you know, I'm always one to, you know, out of an album, there's probably like, most of the times there is a handful of songs that I go back to. So I will, you know, make playlists with, you know, a couple songs per artist, per album that I'm really into, and then just listen to that. Or do you listen to like whole albums all the time?
So I've only recently picked up Spotify Premium. So I'm going to see what I'm doing there. Because generally the big thing that I've been doing, and I got a great thank you to all the people that bother to make playlists, is I've always used YouTube playlists, like bundled by genre. So then you don't have full albums, but there's often also the album playlist. So I do think, for me, like if we look at a band like Omnium, every album is completely laden with different energy and vibes and instruments, especially with only, I think, the later years. It's a big decision which album you're going to put on, because it's going to be completely different. And with other bands, the variation might be more slight, but it's still definitely there. So yeah, if I look back on my Spotify, I always look at albums. Yeah, I play an album to sort of stick with that. Yeah. Yeah, or sometimes I'm in a genre mood, and then it doesn't, sort of the album gets lost, so then it doesn't really have added value that it was released on an album, or whether it would have been released on a single. But I really like listening or looking for the album, because it generally all the songs fit together. You have choosing a genre, then you choose a band, and then you also choose an album. It sort of narrows down where you end up or something.
No, true. And I think definitely, you know, in these times where there is, you know, so much music that you can potentially listen to, it helps, you know, it just helps to that, you know, I'm going to listen to this album, you know, from front to back. And that helps with the decision making process, because you're not jumping around between different bands and stuff like that. So I definitely, you know, basically I think we're on the same page in that regard. I think there is definitely still value in that. And I'm also, you know, I like, you know, if I just want to have something on in the background, I will sometimes listen to playlists that are like just a certain genre, but I'm also mostly into like listening to different albums, you know, throughout the day or throughout the week. So, okay. So you know, we've pressed the CD, we've done the promotional work, we've released the singles, we've released the album, we've had the album release show. So now what? I think for us, after we've released the second album, which was, I'm not saying this because I'm vain or for like boosting myself up or anything, but our second album was quite well received by most people, so which we were very happy about. But then I think afterwards, at some point, at least I felt that way. I felt very afraid because when it came to, you know, writing new stuff, I was very afraid that we wouldn't be able to sort of recreate the success or like the magic that we did. And I think it took quite some time for me to, and for, I mean, we write the songs as a band and everything, but I'm only saying I, because I don't want to speak for the others. It took me quite some time to like get comfortable with the thought of, okay, this it's different, but it doesn't have to be like the same exact thing. So while we were very happy with how well everything was perceived, I'm also still, I mean, we've now, the songs for the next album are written, and I'm very afraid of how it will be, you know, perceived by our fans or by the audience. Have you felt something similar with, you know, after sort of like, after you, if you release an album, you were happy, but then you were also concerned with like, oh shit, what's next?
No. Well, we always have like, oh shit, we have too many songs, we have to create a CD because we should stop writing. So I think there's not really a fixed timeline. But maybe in the release material, which sort of takes the edge off there. If you get what I mean, like it's already blurred, so it's not like, okay, we released this, now we have to reboot and the next song we write has to be on par, because it could have already been on that album, so it's sort of like flowing. And well, of course we didn't choose to go, we want to be professional musicians and this has to work, so we can't really fail. As long as there's one, for example, happy grandma after losing all our fans, while we still enjoy rehearsing and creating, it's a win. Which is something I feel right now. But I've definitely had moments where it's like, oh shit, did we make the right choice? Is the world even waiting for this? Geez, what the hell are we doing? Because the weird thing, and I think every musician that releases something and probably should feel after they release their album, like, this is it, this is going to conquer the world and everybody's going to finally understand, and wow. And of course it doesn't work like that, but there's a low after that where you're like, shit, this wasn't it. Okay, so what do we do? But I don't know. It's just, so yes, I felt that, but at the moment I don't. But it's always there in the back of the mind though, I think, yeah. It's tricky.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, that's not my, like, it's not my only concern if people will like the music, you know. I don't want to come.
I don't want
it to come across like
that. I get what you mean. It's all, or I think I get what you mean. It's also, is it also that you don't want to go down in quality maybe, or lose a bit of the build up energy? Or,
well, it's just, I mean, I think At least that's how I always felt. You know, I'm also playing music because I want other people to hear it, and I want to play live in front of other people. There is to certain types of music, or like there is music that I only make for myself at home that's not gonna be released, that's not gonna even be recorded, where I just do it for like just the pleasure of it because I enjoy it. But if I write a song, and if we write a song together, there, that's always, you know, it's always fun, but it's always also, you know, in some, to some degree, it's always like a project, or work is probably the wrong word, but it's always, you know, it's always something that you want to present. Then, in, at least that's how it feels to me. You know, it's something that I want to present, so I want it to be good. You know, I want, if people come to the concert or if they spend their money, I don't want them to waste their time or waste their money on something that has not been, you know, made well and made with care. So when we have,
is it comparable to when you are rehearsing for a live gig? You know it's going to be presented, so you're walking through the song in your head, like, is this going to work, should we add a little thing here? So it's just, yes, you enjoy it and you do it for you, but there's also, you know, there's also going to be the other thing.
True. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's something that is, yeah. I think if we were just enjoying like the playing of it, we wouldn't need to play live, because, you know, at least that's how I always feel, you know. But we want the interaction with like people, because that's very satisfying, you know, to have people react to what you do. That's like sort of like, in the best case, you have something that you want to communicate as an artist. You know, doesn't matter if you're like sculpting something, or if you're writing something, if you're directing a movie, whatever. You have something that you want to communicate, and ideally you want people to understand what you want to communicate. And then you are getting concerned about like, oh shit, did I do a good job in communicating that thing that I want to communicate? You know, so that's where a lot of my doubts, you know, come in when releasing music. That was a bit off topic, I think, from the whole.
No, I think it's good. I like the whole sort of drifting sometimes, it's actually funny. It just popped into my head because is it recognizable for you that when you're releasing the album, you're really like, yes, this is it. Oh my god, we just made the best shit ever.
Just like not
we're going to hit the pop charts, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
no,
okay,
of course,
guys,
yeah.
This is Nick.
And
the interesting thing, actually, it's just for shits and giggles. If you think back, for me, when we did our first recordings, I thought the same thing, which is funny, because you also had the same considerations, like, okay, are people maybe going to like this, or I don't know, are we even a good addition to the scene if you're going all the way back to the beginning? And then for some reason the answer was yes. And if I listen back, like, the answer shouldn't have been yes, perhaps. That's why you didn't put it on Spotify. So it's actually funny that with all the thinking about it, there's always this point when you're really enjoying the music that you're doing it anyway, because there's so much love in there that you're sort of blinded by the love for what you do, which sort of shows that you're doing a good thing where your heart's
in it. Absolutely. And I think that's sort of ideal, though, isn't it? Because that's where that's how you start. You know, if you were always like, if every young band would be super self-conscious about their first releases, there wouldn't be first releases. There wouldn't, you know, nobody would start new things because you would be too afraid. I think that's sort of that. You know, I don't want to call it hubris, because that's might be a bit too over the top, but like this hubris of being like, you know, like, fuck, this is like the best shit, and y'all aren't even ready for that, you know. And I think that's where, like, you know, you can't let it like delve too much into arrogance, but that's where like good stuff comes from, like of being confident in your creative decisions. And I think that's amazing. I totally get where you're coming from, Leo. Like, oh fuck this part, like that's gonna hit, you know, people are gonna freak out. So, you know, if there's anything that you take away from us, like talking about stuff like that for like 3 episodes, please do like make stuff and put stuff out in the world with the internet. It's, you know, it's hard to find an audience because there is so much, but it's also like a good chance to find your audience because there's nobody stopping you. Basically, there's nobody saying no. So just, you know, be brave, put that poem out there, put that YouTube movie out there, put that song out there that you've been recording at home. You know, do it. It's, you don't have anything to lose, and it's, you know, everyone enriches the world with their art, I think. I mean, at least if you're doing like sexist or racist stuff, then just go and lay down in a hole in the earth and never come out. But, you know, if you're not doing that, then just do your stuff and it'll be good for the world.
Yeah. 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 Do things with love and you won't end up doing racist stuff. It's my thing. And it's a good check for if you end up doing stuff like that. I don't think there's much love in there, at least not for the whole world. No. So then, haha, joke's on you. You can catch yourself doing that and then be like, oh, shit. And then change your ways. Wow.
We've got it all figured out.
It's actually truth. But let's not get caught up in that too much because we still have a thing.
True.
The only structure, basically, that we have in this podcast. We can't leave it out.
Yes. it's just like us talking for 50 minutes and then sort of like waiting for
Yeah.
Oh shit. No, so yeah, that was like the last episode of like doing an album, I guess. That's the name of the series, doing an album, I guess. No. But like yeah. Well, of course what Kuhn is referring to is our weekly addition to the playlist, which is another 4 awesome songs chosen by yours truly, the two hosts of Mead and Moonlight. I'm just gonna go right ahead and start with my first pick. I have so I'm just gonna come clean here. Usually Kuhn is actually pretty good because he picks out his songs before we start talking, and then, you know, we do a little bit of like a pre-talk before we start recording to, you know, to sort of get into the zone. And then Kuhn will mention, oh yeah, by the way, I've already picked my 2 songs. Uh-huh. And then I frantically remember, oh shit, I don't have, and then I'm just, we start talking and I just start frantically browsing through my phone and like trying to remember cool pagan folk songs. But this week, actually, I did just that. But then I discovered that by pure chance, there's like a little theme going on in like in my 2 picks this week. And the theme is like people that have contributed or that have worked together with the pagan folk band Faun is my topic for this week for the 2 songs.
Wow.
And my, yes, purely by accident. So my first pick is by an American band, actually, and that band is called Stella Mara, and and people will maybe be familiar with them either because they play, you know, amazing music that's very inspired by like Bulgarian folk music, especially by Bulgarian like vocals, like singing, and then they have like some cool electronic bits and lots of cool, you know, stringed instruments. It's, just very amazing blend of sort of like that Eastern Balkan region. And their singer, Zonja Drakulic, I don't know how her last name is pronounced, but she had been like an interim singer with Faun for a time, for some time. And she is an amazing vocalist. And the song I'm choosing is called Frituri Se Planinata. I'm probably butchering the pronunciation, but anyway, it's an amazing song and you should check it out.
Wow! I'm always like, does my pick even matter, you know? With this amazing backstory in there. So, but yes, to keep a slight contrast, he just makes it up as it goes along in regards of picking the songs, and then he has this amazing like backstory. I don't know if he reads it up while he's saying it. Actually, I have no clue if he's actually this good. For me, there's going to be a song from generally not just acoustic pagan folk band, but it's a very, very well-known band that has created two acoustic albums. This is from their first, which is the Arcane Dominion, and it's by the band, none other than Eloaiti from Switzerland. And they generally sing about the Gaelic tribes and the wars for liberation, and this particular song from their first acoustic album, the entire album is actually great. It's just like acoustic metal, folk metal, and it's great. Is the Carnutian Forest. Check it out on the playlist.
Yeah, that album I listened to, like, when I was into folk metal, I listened to that album a lot. It's pretty, like, well done. It's pretty cool. I think, and, you know, to bring it back to my topic, I think, actually, Oliver Faun contributed some parts to that album.
Sure. Look, that's the background knowledge that I just don't have prepared. If you say so, I believe.
Well, you know, it's just I can remember a lot of things. Just the only sort of criterion is that it's not useful for a real life situation. So that's sort of like.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He was on there. It says long-necked lute on the Arcane Dominion.
Well, there you go.
That's the song. That's the song, the Arcane Dominion, on the album. Arcane. So you are right. Again.
Wow. Now, that makes me sound like a real smartass. I swear I'm not. Well, anyway.
Wow.
So my second pick is another American artist, interestingly enough, who you might know. He's more at home in like the realms of like psychedelic or neo-folk, and he goes like he has different sort of like projects, but the one that's the most well known, I think, is In Govan Ring. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
It's like it's singer songwriter a bit, but it's also quite atmospheric, and they and he has been on tour there's this one Faun Live album. It's called like the Pagan Folk Festival, and there he has contributed to that. He was on tour with them, and there is like a couple songs they play together, so that's sort of like why my topic works. And I'm choosing the song Hazel Steps. It's more the vibe of the song is more autumnal, you know. It's more introspective and everything, but maybe, you know, for like a nice warm summer evening when you're walking through the dimly lit forest, you know, as night falls, that might be just the song to give you a good vibe for that.
Wow, nice. I liked your little epilogue there. I think we should do an like little poems for people to fall asleep to. This was very relaxing to me. It's not me saying that you're boring. It was relaxing in a good way. Anyhow. My second part, I think I also have a theme. It's sort of like metal themed. My second part song is by a project or band, call it what you will, that consists of two of the head figureheads of the bands are Einar Selvik and Ivar Bjørnsson. Einar being known from Vardruna and Ivar from Enslaved. And for the 200th anniversary of the Norwegian Constitution, they created something. And it's a awesome mix between the two bands. It's epic, it's atmospheric, it has, I don't know, it's just, I was very impressed by it. Some of the metal pieces might not be for everybody, but I chose a very easy on the eye song from the album for you guys, which is called Kvervan.
Nice. Yeah, that's a pretty cool project. I have not listened to it too much, but I remember it being very unique and very interesting. It's also part of the Binoris label, I think, which has been, I think, aren't like Einar Selvik and that guy from Enslaved, I think they are the founders of a label that, like, you know, specializes in sort of that like atmospheric Nordic inspired music. So there is some interesting bands there to check out, for sure, if you're into that kind of music. So, yeah, this was another week with another episode of our little podcast project. You know, the usual applies. Share it. Get, you know, like our Facebook page, whatever. You know, do all the nice promotional stuff that helps us, you know, reach all the people that would potentially be interested in you know, listening to this. We're still, you know, hopefully improving as hosts and, you know, everything. And yeah, we won't be,
yeah.
There will be a new topic next week, but that's a secret, so you'll just have to tune
in. Yeah, super secret and exciting. We know what it is.
So you just we know it, but you just have to wait and then tune into the next episode if you want to know what it is. Yeah, thank you all for listening. It means the world. And Kuhn, you do such nice finishing words. Any wisdom for the people out there?
Yes. Don't identify with the mind. Don't identify yourself with any negative thoughts that you are having, and don't try to change the past or the future with your thoughts. You are unable to do so. There is only the now. So yeah, that was a very light ending, but it is true. Try it. Try to change the past with your thoughts, and then when you realize you can't, it could give you a feeling of peace. Yeah, so that was it, guys. Thank you so much, the guys, girls, and fairies and goblins, of course. Thank you so much for listening, and see you in the top secret next week's episode of Mead and Moonlight, the Pagan Folk Podcast.